BackyardShoot.com.
Once again, here we are in America tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. And boy, are we so happy to have Ellen Ratner with us this go around here from Talk Radio News as we go inside the Beltway with the ultimate insider. And she is back from, it seems like she was exiled, but in fact, she went to Kenya, the Sudan, and Italy. How can you beat that trip? I mean, we're going to go inside Washington, but before we do that and talk about this dreary debt situation, we got to ask you, Ellen, and welcome back, first of all. Got to ask you about the U.S. Army labs in Kenya. What was that? I've always wanted to go there. What was that like?
Well, one of these days, you know, they'd love to have some talk show hosts come, and I'd love to have you as a candidate. Maybe you can do a couple days at the Army Labs and 4 or 5 days in Sudan. But basically, first of all, any new malarial, any malarial medication that you take, be it Malarone or doxycycline, all that, that was developed with the help of the U.S. Army. U.S. Army is obviously concerned about the troops, and so they have been very active in developing all of these medicines. Now they're working on AIDS, they're working on a malarial vaccine, and the other thing they do that we're not aware of, but they do, is they do what's called surveillance, and we're not talking about drone surveillance. We're talking about people who might, for instance, when I was in South Sudan, there was a huge bird die-off. Well, does that mean that there's going to be new bird flu? I also saw measles epidemic in South Sudan. So they want to know about disease patterns across the world and how that might not only affect the troops, but the American population.
Wow, fascinating. Oof.
And if you're interested, look up, you know, Army Labs Kenya, U.S. Army Labs Kenya. I think you'll be amazed at what you find.
Yeah, absolutely. Check that out, folks listening now. So you go on this trip, you come back, and it's the same thing. It's like Groundhog Day, Ellen.
Oh, my gosh. Well, one of the things is that I, of course, went to South Sudan where I have a project, and I know you've been running some ads for our goats.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the goats for the old goat and all that kind of thing. And one of the things that we've been finding since we got, well, what I found in Italy is, guess what? Italy's in the same mess that we are. They're not in the mess that Greece is in, but they are in a little bit of a mess. And the problem is, Kate, is that with this, is if you don't take care of the debt, if you don't find a way to pay it, and you keep drawing it out, the interest rates get higher. Well, if the interest in our debt is going to get higher from the people that are lending us this money, such as China, what does that do to our economy? It's like trying to pay a mortgage on a house when your interest rate went from 5% to 8%.
Right, absolutely, which is part of the argument on the Hill, and now you've got this gang of seven, as you were just telling me, we're talking about this. They say they're not even going to be ready for the debt deal, though, Ellen, by August 2nd.
Well, they're going to have to be. I mean, the president spoke to us at the press room today. I was there and basically said, you know, there isn't any more time. We have got to work this out. And the other issue is that tonight the House passed this onerous bill that the president said he would not sign, and that the gang of six, now seven, because Lamar Alexander has joined them, said that is not in keeping with what they want to do. They passed it 234-190, which means if they can peel off some of the Democrats who have said, Republicans, yes, I voted for this deal because it was important. However, I'm also can deal with reality and I want to deal with this other deal. If they can just, you know, peel off 20 votes, they've got what they need.
Yep, absolutely.
And even John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, said, well, yes, he believes that this is the one thing that can pass the House, but they also need a plan B.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah, good stuff. Ellen Ratner, good to have you back and on the show again. Thanks, as always, for joining
you.
Us here. All right, so Ellen and I were talking about, of course, what she mentioned, the actual vote, 234-190, cut, cap, and balance. That's the plan. What basically that does is it slaps on handcuffs as far as strict caps on all federal spending, any future federal spending, right? And if you follow bouncing ball, it makes it tougher to raise taxes. The president says, no way. He torpedoed it, saying, forget it. If it comes across my desk, that's not going to happen. And the cut, cap, and balance deficit reduction plan, heavily, heavily backed by Tea Party types for sure. I mean, this was the push. This was offered up maybe a week or two ago. It started to get talked about and got some actual legs. The gist of it is what I just said, that you couldn't raise taxes. You couldn't push it. It would make it tough to raise taxes. And also, it would cut the debt by about $3.7 trillion over a decade. Pretty similar to the president, who was what he was calling for anyway, the $4 trillion in savings. But remember, taxes was not at all in the plan when it came to the Democrats, that taxes were definitely on the table. So the vote was pretty much completely on party lines, and it included this requirement that Congress pass a balanced budget amendment to the U.S. Constitution before agreeing to extend the federal debt ceiling. So this is hardball time. Okay, cut, cap, and balance. Here's what we're willing to do, but we have to have this included to the Constitution or we're not going to agree to extending the debt ceiling. The president says, no way. You can talk about cutting spending, but that's not going to, it's not going to happen. John Boehner, in the meantime, also mentioned here at the top, the Speaker of the House said that the Republicans are pushing for strong action and not just talking about it, and saying this is exactly the kind of balanced approach that they're asking for, because it gives the president, with the debt limit increase that he's requested, so it gives him that, but it makes real spending cuts happen now, and it says we can't do this in the future. We can't spend in the future. And, hey, the debt is killing our job growth, so this is it. We're done with this. But the president says no way. He will flat out throw a V on it. He's going to throw the V, throw the veto. So now the Senate Democrats, anyway, are expected to squash it as well. And they're talking about whatever the symbolic gestures are is what the president is mentioning. He says the time's out, then we have to raise this debt ceiling in order to avoid default. So the key question is, do you find fault with the broad strokes that I just painted that are part of the cut, cap, and balance reduction plan? Do you think this puppy really has legs and is the answer, or do you think the president's right and this should be killed, that throwing the V is the right thing to do? Again, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said that they would raise the debt ceiling up to $2.5 trillion through the 2012 election. And we all know this. August 2nd is D-Day. And the talk is the interest rates would go through the ceiling. The dollar would flop like it's not already flopping around. And there would be some pretty jittery financial markets. As always, you know, we're going to be talking about that along the way here on ATM. But coming up next, big controversy when it comes to a doll teaching little girls how to breastfeed. What's up with that? We got the skinny next.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you Himbi and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at herbalhealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, and there's some controversy brewing. There's always some controversy when it comes to anatomically correct dolls or dolls that apparently have gone over the top. So check this out. There's a new doll that's coming into stores now across the country, and it's called the Breast Milk Baby. Supposedly it claims to teach young girls how to breastfeed. It's a company out of Spain. It comes with, I'll go into a little bit of detail, a halter top that has two flowers, and the little girl, you know, basically puts on the top, holds the baby up with the flowers, where the flowers are, and it makes suckling sounds. It is a huge seller, a top seller in Europe. And what they say on their website, I checked it out today, is it lets young girls express their love and affection in their most natural way possible, just like mommy. What do you think, folks? Fair or foul? 800-259-5791. You know my digits, 800-259-5791. Amy Ziccarelli joins us now from Kidville in Dallas, and she's an early childhood education expert. Amy, just initially your reaction when you heard about this doll.
My initial reaction was, what happened to playing with cabbage-backed kids, oversized baby dolls that cry, even just the ones that, you know, you feed the bottle or what have you? Children express themselves as well as learn through dramatic play. And let's let children be children. Little girls love to act like mommy and nurture their motherly side, and I think this doll takes that behavior to a new level. I'm a mother of two, owner of a kids-based business. I just don't think it's developmentally appropriate to teach a child how to breastfeed at such an early age. It's not that I don't think that breastfeeding is a dirty behavior or inappropriate or sexualized in any way. I breastfed my children. I just don't think it's an appropriate behavior to be teaching a young child.
Yeah, and I mentioned that in Europe it was such a runaway seller, but in the United States, I got to tell you, just my initial reaction to whether I think, even from a product point of view, I don't know that I think this is going to be a big seller. Do you?
No, I mean, I think, you know, obviously there's a lot of controversy. There's two sides. You know, there's the side that says, well, this is completely natural and that sort of thing. I mean, I can understand a little bit the parent who maybe has had a new baby in their home and they have, you know, older children in the home that are a little bit older children that are trying, you know, to understand and, you know, talking to them about breastfeeding and kind of explaining the concept to them. I mean, that's a completely natural behavior. But this is a doll that takes on actually teaching breastfeeding. And so when it comes to dramatic play, which is very, you know, a great way for children to learn, you know, through different toys that they play with. You know, let's say they take pretend food and a frying pan and they put them together and they're making up food and serving like they were at a restaurant. This doll is very purposely teaching an action. It's not very creative in the play. It's actually teaching this behavior. And the question is, does that behavior need to be taught at such an early age?
Yeah, and you know, this is your bag, early childhood expert, as I said, an education expert. And kids, and you're the expert, I'm the talk show host, but don't kids take you where you lead them? In other words, if you lead them down this path, they're going to just follow.
Right, right. It is a leading behavior. Like, when you look at, you know, play-based play and learning, this is, you know, it's a leading action. I mean, it's not the same debate, but similar. The, you know, 6 to 7 hours of playing aggressive video games. I mean, is that healthy for the child? Is, you know, people go a step further and ask, oh, is that going to create a criminal down the road? What is this doll going to do? Well, it's you can't anticipate what, you know, what this is going to create, but with young children, this is aimed at young girls, you know, does it push them into that realm of wanting children earlier? You know, all those questions start being asked.
Yeah. And when you know, when we look at kids, what ages are they most impressionable, do you think?
They're most impressionable at, I mean, the early ages. I mean, we're talking, you know, that 1 to 5 years old is where that major development goes on of impressions. You know, at that 4 to 5 years old, which is where this doll is aimed, obviously anybody, you could buy it for any age. That's when, that 4 to 5 years old, that's when they start to show some understanding of moral reasoning. They explore ideas about fairness, good or bad behavior. They compare themselves with others. They're developing friendships. They're developing kind of that awareness of other people's feelings. And interesting, that's when they show interest, start showing the interest in exploring sex differences between the boys and the girls.
Yeah.
They do imaginative play with other children, and that's when they're doing dress up, house, all of that. And this is kind of where that doll is aimed, is in that, you know, age frame of children.
Yeah. You mentioned that you're a businesswoman, of course, Kidville. Explain for people listening what Kidville is and what you do.
Kidville is it's a one-stop shop for kids. We do classes in music, art, gym, dance, yoga. We also have a boutique for children with clothes and accessories. We have an actual play village that's got a diner, a gas station, beauty boutique, grocery store, where they actually go in and there's toys set out and they do their own dramatic play and that sort of thing. We are aimed at ages 0 to 6, and we also have a music program called Little Maestros that's a 4-piece live band with a lead singer, guitar, drummer, keyboard, and it's very interactive with the children that kind of teaches that music concept with the instruments and not just hearing the music.
Yeah, very, very cool. All right, Amy Zuccarelli, thanks so much. We appreciate your time here on ATN.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, can you imagine getting that toy, the breast milk baby, that's what it's called, and the company is the company that I mentioned out of Spain, Bergeron Toys. That's how you pronounce it. So it has that top I was describing, and ultimately in the United States, can you imagine these really, really little girls asking all these questions and running around with these dolls? I just don't see it flying. I don't care what school it is or what crowd these little girls are in, whether they're going to pre-K or it's a little bit above pre-K, but pretty young is what we're talking about here. And the company's fighting back and saying it's ridiculous that this just lets the girls do what they should do and they can be just like their mother. But you have to ask yourself, come on, is it too far? Of course it's too far. The pendulum has swung in such a wild direction on this. And the key thing here is I just don't see it flying in the U.S. Regardless, this company in Europe, it's working, but I don't see it working here anyway. They must have done some research and tried to test it out as far as bringing the dolls into the United States. And you'd have to order it off the website anyway for the most part. I don't think very many stores are carrying them. And it has kind of exploded into, as I said at the beginning, mini controversy where people are talking about, boy, you got to be kidding me. You've got the suckling sounds, the burping sounds, and, you know, phone lines are blown off the hook. A station in New York did a story on it, and they, of course, perfect place for man on the street. You know what that is, right? You just randomly pick people and ask them, hey, what do you think of this? And you show them the doll, and they freak out. And New Yorkers don't mince words, and that's exactly what they did. They freaked out saying it's ridiculous, crazy to let little kids be worrying about what breastfeeding is and breastfeeding. And I guess in general, I guess that's the whole gist of this. I mean, to me, why are you taking that route anyway? Can't they just be little girls for a little while longer? I mean, the second they come out of the womb, they still have placenta on their head. Hey, this is it. You got to learn how to be a woman right now. Coming up next on the flip side, we're going to Hollywood, so hang with us.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I filed from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
All right, what a show out of the gate, huh? We go from those controversial dolls that are being produced in Spain, coming out talking about what's going on the Hill, the back and forth, the constant dead horses that are flying around, and D-Day being August 2nd, what happens then, who stays the course, who bails on the ship, and et cetera. And, of course, we'll pick that up on the flip side. But each and every week, Stephen Shohat, our man in Hollywood, joins us. And, man, this guy, I'm telling you, his book is fantastic. Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. Because it's got all these snippets of stories. That's the kind of stuff I love. And I think I read Stephen's book for the first time, I want to say, probably a year and a half ago. And I was just rereading some of the parts of it the other day. How about that for welcoming him into the show? And we thought we'd talk about Disneyland for a specific reason. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Hey, Kate, thank you for the nice welcome. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you, my friend. You know, it's interesting. You'd sent me a note last week and you said, hey, check this out, you know, Disneyland. And I had this interesting conversation. It's just kind of a sidebar, but I had this interesting conversation with somebody about, wasn't it great in the good old days when you had a layover in L.A.? You could actually go to Disneyland and whip through on some of the rides and get back to the airport in time. Now, I wouldn't dare try that unless you had a layover where you were staying overnight. But,
yeah, maybe Orange County Airport.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe Orange County Airport. But just even mentioning the word Disneyland, it's funny. It's that it's the one spot where you say Disneyland to anybody, and they've got, boom, instant memory. I'm assuming that you spent some time there because
oh, yeah.
You grew up there.
You know, actually, I'll tell you the day we really had fun at Disneyland was Super Bowl Sunday. Everybody was watching the Super Bowl. I didn't care because the Rams weren't in it. And when we just had a blast. It got on the ride so fast. It was just fantastic. So if anybody has that airport idea, I suggest combining it with Super Bowl Sunday.
And, there you go.
Yeah.
Because it'll be like a vacant part.
Right. Well, it wasn't vacant, but it was manageable. You know, part of the fun at Disneyland is seeing all the people, I think. You know, and just a walking. I like sometimes to walk around and see, just have a look at the buildings and just, I mean, obviously I'm a great admirer of Walt Disney. I have a whole chapter about him in my book. And just, you know, looking at it now, it seems like such an obvious can't miss idea. But when he did it, I mean, it was fraught with difficulty. And just looking around at all the buildings reminds me of the story when he had President Sukarno from Indonesia. He gave him a tour shortly after Disneyland opened, and they were riding around on the Mark Twain steamer. And Sukarno just couldn't believe what he was looking at and said, Mr. Disney, this is so splendid. You must be very rich. And Walt grinned and said, oh, yeah, very rich. I only owe $10 million. Yeah, very rich.
And so you published an article that you wrote was published in Big Hollywood, and you talked about Disneyland and the fact that your title was, unlike Walt Disney's movies, Disneyland was never finished. What did you mean by that?
Well, with the movies and the cartoons, once they were done, they were done, and it frustrated him. The one cartoon he wanted to not have that happen with was Fantasia, being a series of cartoons. He thought it could play forever in some theaters, and every month he'd add new things, and that would sort of fulfill him, but Fantasia turned out to be a bust at the box office. And the other films, even the great successes like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, he would watch it and fret over little things that were wrong, like the prince sort of shimmied in and out of view in one scene, but he had no opportunity at that time to go back and improve them. And of course there was that element with movies where you're shooting in the dark, like Alice in Wonderland, the 1951 cartoon lost $1 million in its first release. So he had that frustration where, you know, you have to put it out there, the bank is putting pressure on you. But Disneyland was never done, and that was something that thrilled him. And he used to make that comparison with that and the movies. And there were things, the exciting things for him were after the park opened, learning what worked and what didn't work. Like you have people walking on the grass. It really bothered him. So build little bridges over the grass. You have this ugly boat dock. Build a pretty restaurant next to it. He had the bean counters at the park telling him, shorten the rides, make them quicker, get more people through. He said, no, that's not my idea. I'm going to lengthen the rides. I'm going to give people value for their money. They won't mind waiting if they're getting something wonderful at the end of the line when they reach the, you know, when they reached the ride. Some things didn't work. Right after Disneyland opened, there was this Mickey Mouse Club circus that he tried to tie it in with the Mickey Mouse Club, and his staff told him, circus, not a good idea. And he said, well, you know, I'm from Missouri. You're going to have to show me. And it turned out they were right. He had one incident where there was this trapeze artist who lost her top while performing in front of the kids. Not too much you can do about it in midair. The camels kept spitting into the crowd. The llamas got loose and ran down Main Street, and he started thinking, oh, my gosh, what if a lion or tiger got loose?
Sure.
And they were all poorly attended performances. So, you know, he was upset about it, but he had to kill it. So, you know, you could experiment in ways with Disneyland that you couldn't do with a movie. And there were endless opportunities to exploit his interests. Like he was fascinated reading about the sailing ship Columbia, the first American ship to circumnavigate the globe. And he built a near-perfect replica of it for the already busy Disneyland Park waterways, the rivers of America. And he fell in love with snow sports in Switzerland in the late 1950s. And that inspired him to build the Matterhorn bobsled ride. And he and his wife, Lillian, they used to love shopping for antiques in New Orleans. So that inspired the creation of New Orleans Square. And so it was endless creativity till he died, with Disneyland.
Yeah, and he, it's interesting, you talked about this right off the top, that to build the Magic Kingdom, I think some people would be surprised about this. You're talking mid-50s. How much was the dollar amount on that?
$17 million. And,
wow.
And the way he got the money was very innovative. The key to, I mean, he actually mortgaged his house and borrowed against his life insurance policy. So his wife, Lillian, was not always thrilled, even though, you know, she always supported him in the end. It was a nerve-wracking thing. But the key was his decision to get into television. And at the time, there were moguls in Hollywood like Louis B. Mayer and Jack Warner who were really upset about TV to the point of firing cameramen if they found out they owned TVs at home. And Bob Hope was not allowed to host the Academy Awards because they were so mad at him for having a TV special. So there was a lot of resentment towards TV. So Walt was pretty unique among moguls. I mean, other people were getting into TV as well, like Lucille Ball. But as far as being a mogul went, Walt didn't see TV as a threat at all. And CBS and NBC were the top two rated networks. ABC was a distant third, mostly public address announcements. So they were the ones who were the easiest to deal with. And Walt created two television shows for them, Disneyland, and then later on the Mickey Mouse Club, and then later a third show, Zorro. And Disneyland, of course, eventually became the Wonderful World of Disney. And in return, ABC was the one who financed the loan guarantees that he needed to build Disneyland. So it was a deal that worked out well for everybody, although there was tension eventually because Walt always put himself in the mind of a customer when he was improving Disneyland. And ABC kind of was thinking, well, let's get the money out to the stockholders. Let's cash in on the profits. And Walt would always reinvest in the park, doing things like putting fancy furniture in a medium price restaurant or lavishing more money on a parade. And eventually he and ABC broke up. He bought them out because, he was, very, hard for partners to deal with and vice versa.
Yeah. We have just a couple minutes left, but the opening day turned out to be disastrous. Why?
Well, there were 10,000 invitation-only tickets sent out. They were easy to forge, so three times that many people showed up, and they couldn't handle it. The rides, nearly half the rides broke down because of the excess weight. The asphalt on Main Street wasn't dry, so you had a lot of ladies with high-heeled shoes getting stuck and sinking. There was a plumber strike, so Walt had a choice between the bathrooms working and the drinking fountains working, and, of course, he wanted cleanliness, so he just chose to have the bathrooms working, and people were passing out. It was a hot day in July, and the day was sponsored by Pepsi Cola, so a lot of people in the park assumed that the drinking fountains not working was a conspiracy by Pepsi to sell more products, so that infuriated people, and Fantasyland sprung a gas leak, so that had to be shut down. Tomorrowland didn't really have the capacity to handle customers. It wasn't really... He didn't have it conceptually down. So as the day wore on, fights broke out between the ride operators and the patrons. And like I said, had it been a movie, maybe that would have been the end. But Walt read about it in the paper the next day and immediately came back to Disneyland and started fixing things.
Wow. Wow, fascinating stuff. Stephen, as always, pick up a copy of Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You got it. Thanks for having me, Kate.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure some of the people listening to me right now, you've got those memories of Disneyland. Now you know a little bit of the inside scoop about what it was like behind the scenes. Crazy. Coming up, odds and ends. Would you believe Rupert Murdoch gets to eat some humble pie? What does that mean? We'll talk about it.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. And most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Wiretapping on this show end to end, and now Rupert Murdoch and his son right in the middle of a controversy saying that they're not to blame. It's worth bringing this up on Odds and Ends just for anything to get away from the nonsense going on the Hill for a few seconds, because you want to talk about odds, there are a lot of odds in both directions. But with the Murdoch thing, in case you don't know this, what's happened is News of the World tanked. Basically, Murdoch tanked it after it was revealed that allegedly there was massive wiretapping going on, and information that was gathered was given to News of the World. So reporters were writing stories, breaking stories, because they had the inside scoop right from the mouth of whoever, whether it was a celebrity, whether it was the royals, or some of the families of the victims on 9/11, which they're going for the jugular on that one. And that is twisted beyond belief, in my opinion. What kind of ghoul does that? I mean, it's one thing, you know, you're the tabloidy scum of the earth, And so you follow John Edwards around, which he got what he deserved, but you're sneaking around the hotel and sliding up the elevator and going through trash and all that sort of stuff. But that's still a little bit different than being part of this illegal phone hacking deal. So for about 3 hours, the Murdochs basically were peppered, if you will, with questions on this whole tapping thing. You know, what they knew, they pressed both of them, Rupert Murdoch and his son James, on answers as to who might have authorized or even known of the reporter's hacking of those voicemails. So I like this one section. I was somewhere, and I was, because it went on so long, I had been to two different places, and I was watching this, and one of them said, "Do you accept that ultimately you are responsible for this whole fiasco?" And vintage Murdoch, he just says, "Nah, nah." And then his son was the one who tried to reel it in, tried to say, "Oh, you know, we had no idea. I had no idea of this." And they're just trying to back off of now what's become a serious mess for the Murdochs, because it's all about the stock, baby. And when the shareholders see that the stock is tanking, that's not good, because the Murdochs are running a serious empire. So little chinks are being taken out of that empire, that media empire. And I don't doubt this. I mean, really, you think Rupert Murdoch knew anything about the day-to-day details of what was going on in any of these news departments? He has so many. He has a monopoly, basically. Do you think he knows what's happening? Oh, yeah, that assignment editor in New York, and then there's that one in London, and then there's that reporter, that new reporter that broke that story. Geez, it's a good thing that we were able to hack into some of those lines. Of course not. Of course he didn't know that. But it is true, ultimately, it's your company, and who's ever put in place and whatever happens, it's yours. So news of the world is gone. What happened was, too, especially, they would get so much extra juice on titillating stories, if you will, because they had some kind of a hacking thing going on. And, you know, he says, "I'm not the best person to clear this up." And his big statement, I think, was that he feels betrayed because there was people he trusted and that they behaved disgracefully. They betrayed the company. It's up for them to pay and all that sort of stuff. And then you had the former top exec that everybody wanted to hear from, Rebecca Brooks, who said she never paid a policeman or ever said, "Go ahead and write a check to the police." So now you have these journalists who were left hanging out to dry from the paper that he sliced off, who are accused of bribing the cops to get private info about people, including the royals. And you have to figure, some of them, if there is anywhere to go up the chain, they're going to go after it. And this scandal, more than in the U.S., even though it does touch the U.S., I mean, the thing with the 9/11 families, that's just wrong. Come on. And you've got the Brits, though, in a much bigger uproar over this because of now what it means kind of globally, because of who they hacked into. So when I said humble pie, somebody did throw a pie at Rupert Murdoch when all this was going on. And it wasn't a pie. It was like a shaving cream pie kind of thing. So he really did eat a version of humble pie. And the FBI is looking into News Corp and what happened, especially the angle there is the whole September 11th, 2001 terror attack and whether or not any of the victims were hacked into by Murdoch's people. He's pretty much saying he has no knowledge of it and he doesn't believe that it happened. But he's the head of the company. And they can say they're sorry and they can say, you know, the listening of voicemail or victims of crime or, you know, we're sorry about that. And, you know, it's the people who we hired and whatever, and we're acting quick and decisively. You know, is this ultimately enough to save the stock? That's the rippling effect of what they care about, is the stock. And you know something's up when the prime minister cuts short a trip to Africa to go to London to deal with it. I mean, you know it. Why would Cameron do that? Well, the reason is because he hired Andy Coulson, who's a former News of the World editor, who resigned as Cameron's spokesperson after the staffers were jailed for hacking voicemails. And so he resigns his post, you know, back at the beginning of the year, and has since been arrested. And now this was the guy that he hired, so it puts him in a precarious position. So that's the scoop on Rupert Murdoch, right? Running afoul of shareholders. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, meaning back here in the U.S., as we've got this debt reduction framework that's being put together by the now Gang of Seven in the Senate, they're saying that they hope that they can somehow stop the stalemate in these negotiations. Maybe we can break it open. While the House has passed a measure that would slam strict caps on any federal spending and would make it almost impossible, not totally, but almost impossible to raise taxes. Ultimately, the agreement part of this to make all this happen with the cut and cap would be the fact that there would be an amendment that this couldn't happen in the future to the Constitution. And the president is praising the Gang of Six plus one, now seven, right? And saying, forget the cut and crap stuff, because that's not going to fly. I'm not going to sign it. I'm going to wing a V on that big time. He's going to go for the veto. So expect more head butting to continue to happen on the Hill. And they're going to work into the weekend. Trust me, they're going to work into the weekend if Harry Reid has anything to say about it. He said the other day, we'll just keep on working on it. But that deadline, you know, when you're driving around and you look in your rearview mirror and it says objects appear closer than they are, this really is a lot closer, I think, than they realize.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
This constant bickering is going to put me in a coma.